It's really an honor for me, after after so many years of relationship with Tamar and Giddy, to be able, min ha-shamayim, that it should work out, to give a shiur in memory of Dr. Berger, of Tamar's dad, is a real privilege. It's also a just always a tremendous nachas for me to see the community built by so many people who who I really I respect so much and care for so much, and it's a very special nachas to see. I did not get involved in the process. I didn't express an opinion. I remained very neutral. But now I can say that I was very gratified and happy that the shul made the choice that they made and brought in Rav Wiener, and it's the shul and Rav Wiener Inveya Geffen for Inveya Geffen, and Mirtz Hashem, I'm looking forward to seeing how much we can continue to grow even more under Rav Wiener's stewardship. I wanted to talk a little. I don't know how little. When should I end the shiur?
When it's done.
Yeah. That's a very dangerous thing to say to an ordained rabbi.
After the shiur, there's going to be marim.
Okay.
That's all I know.
All right. So I have to end before Alos HaShachar. I wanted to talk a little, maybe on a more philosophical level, about the relationship of the Torah to medicine, which also ties into the relationship of the Torah to science in general. I gather that Tamar's dad was not only a doctor who was there to help people, to treat them, etc., but also really had an intellectual interest in the science of what he did. And of course, someone who has an intellectual interest in science has an intellectual interest in all of science. So medicine is based on science, is based on our knowledge of the workings of science and the laws of nature, and we use that knowledge to treat people. How does the Torah believe that people who are sick get better? So interestingly, seems to be a machloket in Makor number one. You don't have to follow inside of the Makor sheet, but if you want to, hopefully everyone has one. Damer of Acha Nichnas Lahakiz Dama Omer, someone who goes to the doctor for treatment, in their days it was bloodletting, says, Yiratzon Fanech Hashem Elokai She Esek Zeli L'Refua B'Sifraini. Hashem, please let this be for Refua and send me your Refua. Kikel Rofei Ne'amanata Refraska Emes, because you are a trustworthy Rofei and a true doctor. And here's the controversial part, L'Fisha Ein Darkon Shabli Adam L'Ra Pos Ela Shenagu. Right, this is the part that doesn't make it into the Shulchan Aruch, that the patient is supposed to say, because it's not really, people aren't really supposed to go to doctors, it's just our minhag. It's not the din, it's really only a minhag. Meaning, we shouldn't really be going to doctors, but once we do, help us out. Amar Abai lo lema in Ashachi. Abai says, no, you shouldn't say that part of the tefillah. The Tanit Vei Rabbi Shmuel, Varapo Yerapi, the Torah says, this is in case of payment for battery, Parshat Mishpatim, Mikan Shenitna Rishos the Rofa Lerapo. The Torah says he has to pay the doctor's bill. We deduce from that, or the Marsha says we deduce from the double language of Rapo Yerapi, that if the Torah says you have to pay the doctor's bill, that means that the doctor is supposed, there's supposed to be a doctor's bill, there's supposed to be a doctor. From here we see that the Torah gave license to the doctor to practice medicine, and the Taz in Siman Shin Lamed Vav of Yoredeya explains, based on the Lashon of the Torah there, that of course once the Torah gives license to the doctor to practice medicine, the doctor has not only license but an obligation to practice medicine, because everyone has an obligation, even if it would be non-life-threatening conditions of hashavat aveda, of returning to someone that which they have lost and need to retrieve, such as their health, and in life-threatening conditions, of course, the obligation of pikuach nefesh, of lo tamod al dam reyecha. The seems to be machlokas here whether medicine, whether practicing medicine is using our knowledge of nature in order to improve our condition, is a proper thing to do or an improper thing to do. And then we would paskin that it is a proper thing to do. And that is clearly the mainstream approach. You know, we're anyone who's been an Orthodox Jew for more than a couple of weeks knows that we take medicine very, very seriously. We take Pi'uach Nefesh very seriously. You know, go to the best doctors and the Hatzalah, whether it's Shabbos, whatever it may be, because we paskin that one is supposed to avail oneself of medicine. But this is somewhat controversial. The Ramban, there is a famous, perhaps infamous, apparently the Talmidim of Rav Chaim Salvechi, Rav Chaim Brisker, say that he said this Ramban must have been forged. There cannot be such a makor. But the assumption is that that if the Ramban is there, it's there. Says the Ramban, V'aklal, ki b'yos yishol shleimim v'im rabim lo yitnag in yonim b'teva klal. When the masses of Jews are perfect in their religiosity, they do not work on the level of derech hateva, of nature and science. Lo begufam, lo ba'artzon, lo b'kolam, lo b'yachmeyam, ki yivarech Hashem lachma meimam. Rather, Hashem blesses everything. He blesses our food and drink. V'yashmach lehen, Hashem takes care of everything. On a certain madrega, Hashem takes care of everything. We are not meant to avail ourselves of medicine. Actually, it's tarchal rofei l'sham derech v'darchei v'os klal. We don't need a doctor. We don't need to get medical advice. Kol sha'ar mekinei Hashem rofecha. Hashem is our doctor. Chein hayu atzadikim osim zman hanevuah. That's what tzadikim did in the old days, in the time of the Nevi'im. Gam ki yichrim oven sheichal lo yidushim rofei marak Nevi'im. If they got sick because of a sin. Notice, not because of a virus, because of a sin. They wouldn't go to doctors. They would go to Nevi'im, who would tell them what to do in order to get better. Ke'inyan Chizkiyahu b'chaluso. Chizkiyahu went to Yeshaya Navi and to Chulda Navi. V'amar akaso gamachol yodor Hashem ki'im berofen. The Melech Asa was criticized for not going to Hashem, but rather to doctors. V'ilo ayudavar arofen nag b'hem atam shiyaskur arofen ha'ashem barak pavur shal yodor Hashem v'alu kashi yomar adam lo'achal ploni matzu chag matzu ki'im chametz. And don't say he was criticized, like other mefarshim say, for not seeking out Hashem. Then it should have just said he didn't seek out Hashem. Why did it say he didn't seek out Hashem but went to doctors? It was wrong to not seek out Hashem. And he was criticized for going to doctors. It says, well, adorish Hashem ben Navi. Someone who darshens Hashem through a Navi, who seeks Hashem through a Navi, you just rove him. If you have a path to Hashem, you don't need a doctor. Umachil ki rove him based also ritzon Hashem. What is the role of doctors if someone does ritzon Hashem? Ach shev tiach uverchas lachmach v'esmeimecha v'asirosi machl mikirbecha v'arove him imaseim rakal amachal v'amashkel lahazmin ul'tzavas halav. Hashem will bless our food and drink, and all the doctors do is tell you what to eat and drink. Okay, nowadays the doctors have more advanced techniques. It's actually interesting. Some historians of philosophy, we're not doing history of philosophy now, some historians of philosophy sometimes sit back and wonder if the Rishonim / medieval philosophers of whatever tradition they're studying had modern medicine, which is so advanced, would they have had the same philosophical approach or not? But it could be, yes. But here he says, all the doctors do is tell you what to eat and drink. They weren't good at surgery in those days. They certainly didn't have lasers. And Hashem will bless our food and drink so we don't have to worry. The king Amr kol esrim tartin shtinda malach rabba, Rav Yosvil umnil beisa lo kara, v'amashal em tard lo psiach l'mitzvasa psiach l'asya. He interprets, okay, the machlokas, that for 22 years that Rabba and Rav Yosef lived in the same town, in the same yeshiva. They didn't even go to the doctor. They were on such a madrega. And the Chazal say, if you don't open your door for mitzvos, you'll need a doctor. But if you do mitzvos, you won't need v'huma. Now he quotes the Gemara in Brachos that, oh, people really shouldn't go to doctors. It's just a minhag. If we did not decide to go to doctors, if we didn't have this minhag, then we would get sick when Hashem wants us to get sick. We would get better when Hashem wants us to get better. It would all be, we would just turn to Hashem. Aval heim nagu berfuas. But since we go to doctors, Hashem enichal mikra etzvarim, Hashem abandoned us, left us to the happenstance of nature. Meaning we decided to live on the level of physical nature, and Hashem left us there. But ideally, we should be beyond that. V'zoa kavanas of armor v'rapo yurape. And now he makes a tremendous chiddush. Mikan shenit n'rashos l'rofi l'rapos. The Ramban makes a tremendous chiddush. Chazal say the doctor has permission to heal. Why is he saying that you shouldn't really go to a doctor? Lo amr shenit na reshus l'chola lehis rapos. Never says the patient has permission to be healed, just that the doctor has permission to heal. Ella came in shechala cholo balis rapos ki nag berfuas v'lohayim adas Hashem shechelka mechayim ein lerofi lesser asam berfuas so lo nechshas Hashem yamas biyader achshuv bakim lacha hiv lo bavur sheyama kishen levader rofi kolbasa shkar nagu. Says the Ramban a tremendous chiddush. The Torah gives full license, tremendous mitzvah for the doctor to heal, but does not give full license for the patient to seek treatment. The patient should be on the madrega of being above teva, of being above nature, of just turning to Hashem and having everything come straight min hashamayim. However, once the patient is not from adas Hashem shechelka machayim, not from the highest madrega, and the patient seeks treatment, now the doctor, doesn't matter the madriga of the doctor, once the patient seeks treatment, the patient needs treatment. That's the level he is living on. And regardless of the madriga of the doctor, even if the doctor is beyond this entire physical world. But if the patient seeks treatment, then the doctor is allowed to and commanded to treat him and shouldn't say, I'm not going to because what if I make a mistake? As long as he's duly licensed, then he has to just try his best and shouldn't say, I shouldn't treat him because Hashem's in charge. Because this fellow's seeking treatment, and therefore he needs treatment. And that's why the Torah says in Dinei Mamonot that if there is a case of battery, then the batterer has to pay the medical bills of the victim. Because the Torah doesn't assume lotisma chala nes, does not assume that everyone's on the madrega of nes, and therefore, if this person's not on the madrega of nes and he goes to the doctor, then you have to pay his bills. But if Hashem really approves of Hashem, if you really act in a way which is pleasing to Hashem, then you don't have any business going to doctors. And as a matter of fact, one should act like Chizkiyahu, who went to a navi. The Ramban assumes he didn't also go to a doctor, and one should not act like Asa Hamelech, who went to doctors, which the Ramban assumes was his mistake. This is a very unique shita of the Ramban. What does the Ramban say? Does the Torah believe in the practice of medicine? The answer is, it depends for whom. For someone on a low madriga, then the Torah believes, if Hashem says, he nicham l'mikra, Hashem leaves them to happenstance. Hashem leaves them to the world of nature. There's a world of nature. If you put yourself in that world of nature, then the Torah believes you have to go with it. Once you're in the world of nature, once you're in the scientific world, then you have to do the most you can. However, that is somewhat of a v'yefid. L'chadchila, ideally, the Torah believes we should be beyond nature, beyond the laws of science, beyond the physical world. Everything should, we should look directly to Hashem, and Hashem will give it directly to us. And therefore, the Torah, you'd say, believes in the power of medicine, maybe b'di'evit for those on a low madrega, but not for those on a high madrega who transcend the realm of the laws of science, that is to say, scientific causality. Here you have a big machlokas among the modern-day poskim, not so much among the philosophers. The Ramban says what he says. Among the poskim, exactly what madrega is the Ramban talking about? Exactly where to draw the line? So most poskim agree with, I just quoted number 3, but you could quote 100 people like this, the Divrei Yatzev, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, who says, you have a connection?
Yeah, he's my hospital.
Okay.
He made the Laniato in Netanya.
Yes, exactly. So you can imagine where he's going then, right? Correct. I mean, he is, to the best of my knowledge, I might be wrong. You can correct me if you have a great uncle who's a Hasidic Rebbe who also made a hospital. I think he's the only Hasidic Rebbe who came to Eretz Yisrael and said, I'm going to found a hospital. A lot of Hasidic Rebbes came to Eretz Yisrael and said, I'm going to found the Hasidus or refound the Hasidus, which is great. But he was really unique that he said, I'm going to found a hospital, and maybe we'll come back to that soon. And what does he say? He says, the Ramban Atzmo Kosev, yes, the Kasha. The Ramban says in Torah Adam, v'huv beis Yosef, reish shem and shin lamed vav, the high rishus the rapos, rishus the mitzvah. The license to heal is a mitzvah to heal. Uv'chal b'kuach nefesh, he has to heal. And then he adds, u'shma minocha rofesh yodeya, b'chach mam lach luchay v'lu rapos. V'mon atzor is a shofet dom ayin shem. He says, any doctor who knows medicine must practice, and if not, he's considered a murderer if he just says, no, I'm going to retire to an island in the Caribbean and let everyone fend for themselves. So if he doesn't believe in medicine, then why does he think it's such a big mitzvah to be a doctor? That is pretty clear. I think the Pashav shot in the Ramban is, he was talking about a very high madrega. He mentions the word tzaddikim zman hanavua, doresh Hashem benavi. Okay, the madrega of the time of Nevi'im, it's complicated. We're not going to properly imagine what it was like in the time of Nevi'im. In some ways, it was probably much holier than we can imagine. And in some ways, perhaps, it was still much more mundane. But it was a different madrega when there were Nevi'im, when there were Nevi'im walking around. The tzaddikim, zman hanavua, sounds like not tzaddikim nowadays. Tzaddikim, zman hanavua, is a long time ago. It's been a good, let's say, 2,500 years, more or less, since the zman hanavua. In the zman hanavua, but for the last 2,500 years, we're on the madrega of teva. We're not on that level. That level is something very not something philosophically important to know what the ideal existence is. But it's philosophically important, like Gan Eden is philosophically important. You know, that's some ideal which has nothing. Not has nothing to do, which is inspirational on some deep level, but practically has nothing to do with the world we live in. And that's what he says. He says that if the Navi says someone's going to die, nothing going to help. The Navi says they're going to live, nothing going to help. Nevi'im know the future. We try to predict the future, but they really know. And the Navi says, do this and Hashem will save you. Do this. So he says, that's in the time of the Nevi'im. But nowadays, meaning even from the time of the end of the days of Tanakh, through Bayesheni, Tanam, and Aram, Rishonim, Achronim, we're on the Madrega where we live in the world of Teva, which actually makes sense, because the Ramban says we shouldn't really go to Rofim. But the Maskana of the Gemara and Brachos is that you shouldn't say, She'ein derech ben yadam l'refuas, L'rapos el shenogu. The Abayi says you should go to doctors. Yeah, because Abayi's talking about nowadays. Nowadays you should go to doctors. There is a bit of a das yachid, which is number four, the Avnei Nezer. This is not the Avnei Nezer. This is a tshuva. His father, who's the Rav of Biala, wrote to the Avnei Nezer, which made it, I guess maybe his father didn't have a published shut. And he says, and he wants to be like this in the Taz, but the Taz, I think, is very open-ended. The Ramban, there only meant tzaddikim. But tzaddikim, in all times and places. A tzaddik, in all times and places, should be beyond the physicality, beyond science, beyond causality, and should not go to a doctor. A tzaddik shouldn't go to doctors. And if you're not a tzaddik, then you should. And therefore, Abaye says a regular person who's not a tzaddik should understand he has permission to go to the doctor. And it's actually a fascinating tshuva there. Again, it is not at all what we're used to paskening nowadays. Certainly, Rav Chaim, you know, if anyone told him this tshuva, would have had a conniption. But he says, and therefore, let's say there's someone who's a big tzaddik, who the doctor says, well, you have to eat treif to get better. And he says, no, I'm just going to have bitachon Hashem and forget the doctor, legamre, which we would say, is most poskim would say he's wrong. He says, yeah, if someone really wants to be a tzaddik, they don't have to listen to doctors, they can just put their bitachon in Hashem, like the Ramban. So there is a, in terms of the practical applicability of the Ramban, the Avnei Nezer's father thought, even nowadays, if you're a big tzaddik, you can consider yourself lemala min hateva. But most posts would agree with the Divrei Yatzev. That's why he founded a hospital, because he figured even for the tzaddikim, well, first of all, not everyone's a tzaddik, and even for the tzaddikim, for the last 2,500 years, we're not quite on that madrega. But what's interesting is that what comes out of the Ramban is that there are two madregas. You know, exactly where, I don't know, pick a tzaddik who's alive nowadays. Okay, pick a tzaddik who's not alive nowadays. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. You know, should he go to doctors or not? Okay, that depends if you ask the Avnei Nezer or you ask the Divrei Yatzev. The Maaseh, he went to doctors because he held like the majority opinion. But the Ramban says there's two madregas. There's a madrega where you don't go to doctors because you're beyond teva, and there's a madrega where you live within teva, which is the b'dieved, but maybe the b'dieved of, until, you know, from 2,500 years ago, until Mashiach comes, where it's a big mitzvah to go to doctors and a big mitzvah to doctors to heal us because we live within the realm of Teva. So says the Ramban, does the Torah believe in the power of medicine? Yes, for those who live within Teva, but not for those who are beyond Teva. A more radical answer is found in the Michtam Eliyahu. Okay, it's hinted at, perhaps in some earlier Makoros, but he really took it very far. He's not discussing specifically here medicine, but he's discussing science and life. And he says, is there such thing as science, as Teva? And he has a famous shita, which was not popular among the Rishonim, but is popular in many circles nowadays. Says the Michtam Eliyahu, v'ala emes hi, number 5, ki ein bein teva l'neis klum. There's actually no difference between miracle and nature, not because everything is nature, but because everything is a miracle. Hakol neisu, everything is a miracle. There are only miracles. There is no teva. Now, that's very, very radical. What that means is that, anyone know what will happen if I let go of the pen? Where it'll go? It'll go downwards, right? How sure are you it will go downwards? 100% sure it'll go downwards. I haven't tried yet, so you never know, right? There was a Scottish philosopher named David Hume who agreed with the Michtam Eliyahu, says, how do you know it will go downwards? That's just your assumption. It just makes you comfortable to think that. There's no logical reason. But most of us are not philosophers, so we use more common sense, and we say, no, avada will go down. For sure it'll go down. Why will it go down? Because there's a law of gravity. Says the Michtam Eliyahu, no, there is no such thing as a law of gravity. That's ridiculous. There are no laws. There's no science. If there were laws of science, that would mean everything's not run by Hashem. No. It'll go down if Hashem wants it to go down, and that'll be a nes. Okay, so why does it look like there are laws of science? It says, kol olam kulein lo shum siba zulus tonu yisbarach. There is no, right, we're not going to get super philosophical here, but if you ask a philosopher how many laws of science are there, you know, that interest him, he will say one, which is the law of cause and effect. You know, everything else is just examples for scientists. For the philosophers, cause and effect, that a cause causes an effect. That's philosophically interesting. Is there such thing as cause and effect? Hard for us to imagine there wouldn't be. Okay, there's a big philosopher once who built on that. But he says there is no such law. There's no cause and effect. There's no gravity. There's no anything. There's no laws of anything. The only siva, the only cause of anything is Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hainu Ma'isav Anagoso. And Hashem's Ratzon is his actions, meaning it's not like if I want to do something, I have to use science to do it. Right? No. Whatever Hashem wants, just happens. Ki kol she ratzonim is havei elav. Whatever he wants, happens. Rak zesh in a koron lo neis hainu ratzon shiz havei inish lor galnu bo umemela chidish pol banu l'sor v'liris bo yad Hashem. You know what we call a neis? When Hashem decides for something unusual to happen. We call it a neis because it makes a psychological impact upon us to see, whoa, yad Hashem. Because it surprised us. Because psychologically, when the same thing happens again and again, it doesn't make a roshim on us. When something happens infrequently, it makes a roshim on us. Teva, what we call teva, is when Hashem wants something to go the same, to stay the same for a while. Like, if I let go and the pen went up, we would call it an ace, because it would make an impression on us psychologically. If I let go and the pen went down, we would call it teva, because it doesn't make an impression on us psychologically. But says the Michtam Eliyahu, again, you have to understand, the Michtam Eliyahu is a philosopher. Meaning, don't say, does this make common sense to me or not? Because that's not a valid kasha on a philosopher. That's a valid kasha on, like, a regular person you meet in the, Rami Levi. But he says, yeah, there's no actual difference if the pen goes up or down. It's random. It's just that one has a psychological effect on us and one doesn't. But Hashem decides, each time I let go of the pen, Hashem decides if it'll go up or down. Now you'll ask, well, why did Hashem always decide it'll go down in every case I've seen in my life? If it's not real, there is no actual teva. The answer is, the makom l'nasta adam as a test. Im gam b'kazeh yireh s'rtzo achat shon Hashem levad, o yachshav ki masr Hashem kochos l'teva. It's actually a test. The whole world is an elaborate fake. Hashem decides to almost always make things go down. I mean, unless they're helium balloons. But to almost always make things go down and almost always make helium balloons go up to test us to see if we think it's teva. But really, he's just deciding each time to make it go down to test us. Not that there's actually a law of gravity. And we fail the test by thinking that Hashem gave power to Teva. And we fail the test if we think that there is Teva and we can use Teva to cause an effect to accomplish what we want. Basically, if we think we can do anything in the physical world, that's failing the test, believing in Teva. If we say nothing I do makes any difference because there are no laws of Teva, just Hashem decides each second separately, there's no rules, Hashem just decides each case individually, then we pass. There is no such thing as Teva. It's an optical illusion. That's what Achiz Zeinayim means in Lashon Chazal. It's an optical illusion just to test us, to give us a Bechira Chafshis to believe in the truth or falsehood. Now again, this is, it's definitely not common sense. It's definitely not something which one is inclined to believe at first glance. It's not something I'm personally inclined to believe even at second or third glance. But it is a certain possible approach with roots, with many roots in earlier Mefarshim, that there is no such thing as Teva, and therefore nothing you do actually accomplishes anything. Meaning, why does someone get healed? Not because they took penicillin, because penicillin doesn't actually do anything. Because Hashem wanted them to get healed. Why does it look like penicillin heals people statistically? Hashem arranged that optical illusion as a test. But the goal in life is to see through it, according to Michel Eliyahu, and not believe in science. And then the next paragraph says, not only does cause and effect not help, but actually believing it is destructive. Okay, we won't read the rest inside because it is getting late. We'll speak it out outside. You can follow inside if you wish. He says, really, logically, doing any hishtadlus, as they say, b'derech hateva, is the worst thing you could possibly do, because it's not believing that Hashem runs the world super directly. It's believing that there's a teva. And he says, really, actually, like, let's say to live, you need to eat, right? If someone fasts for long enough, they will not have any nutrition and they will die. So he says, really, if you eat, you should die, because that's like believing in science that there's nutrition. And if you don't eat, you should live, because that's having bitachon in Hashem. But okay, Hashem cannot run the world that way, because then there wouldn't be a bechira anymore. Then people wouldn't be able to make mistakes. So therefore, Hashem makes people live if they have nutrition, and makes people die if they don't have nutrition, as an allusion to. He works that out as part of his illusion to fool people. But we shouldn't be fooled into thinking that anything actually accomplishes anything. In Ruchnius, mitzvos accomplish zechuyos in Ruchnius, but nothing accomplishes anything in this physical world. And then he says, so why, in fact, do we do hishtadlus? Why do we do anything physical in this world if it doesn't accomplish anything? And he has two answers. One answer, this is famous from his example, which is not about medicine, is we have to, for example, why do I have to eat? Why can't I just have bitachon and Hashem will give me that Hashem will give me nutrition? Why, if chas v'shalom, someone has a heart attack, chas v'shalom, do they have to go to the hospital? Why not just say it's all from Hashem? Like, hospitals don't do anything; it's all from Hashem. So he has two answers. One answer is, he says, in order to. He quotes here from Rav Zonim Lisalantel, Tshichon Alasim Gestadlos, little in the second last paragraph, Rakman the Sheinon Ruyan Lenisim Gluyim. We have to do Gestadlos just because we are not on the level where Hashem can't do Nisim Gluyim for everyone. And therefore, we have to work within, we have to pretend to work within nature sometimes in order that if other people see what happens, they can still choose to be fooled or not to be fooled and think it's natural. Like, for example, if someone would say, I'm so religious that, I'm so religious, I'm going to do nothing to make any money, and Hashem will magically, like, just make, 200 shekel bills appear on my dining room table. They can't do that because Hashem can't make doesn't want to make 200 shekel bills appear on their dining room table, because that would give away the whole illusion, right? The whole point is there's supposed to be an illusion here. Therefore, they have to sort of play along in order to keep up the illusion. If someone, for example, someone someone, not even getting to an ophthalmologist yet. Let's say we're just an optometrist, right? Someone can't see, they need glasses. They shouldn't say, Hashem will make me see. Because if they couldn't see, and then all of a sudden, like Hashem made them see, that would start giving them, because they had bitachon, that would break the illusion. They should go get glasses just because, or if someone can't see and they need to go to an ophthalmologist for surgery. They shouldn't say, no, I'm blind, but Hashem will make me see tomorrow as soon as I wake up because I have bitachon. Because if everyone did that, it would give away the illusion. So they should go to the doctor in order to keep up the illusion, but they should not, chas v'shalom, believe that anyone accomplishes anything, right? It's a funny world. Basically, I would go to the doctor. How would he explain v'rapo y'rapi? I can go to the doctor, but I'm only going to the doctor as an illusion. Like, I don't really think he does anything. The Torah doesn't believe in the power of medicine or anything else for that matter other than Hashem. The Torah doesn't believe in the power of anything physical. And ultimately, what he says is, if you would read inside, I mean, this is page 178 to 188. There's a lot in between in the ellipses. It's a brilliant and fascinating essay. He says, really, the Torah doesn't believe in the power of people to do anything. Only Hashem does things. People do absolutely nothing, except for being Avdei Hashem. But in this physical world, any person who thinks they can do something is not really believing in the koach of Hashem. He does not believe in... He believes people should grow in ruchnius, but he does not believe that people have any power in the physical world because there is no such thing as teva.
From a practical point of view, did Rav Dessler go to doctors?
So I have no idea. You would think, from a practical point of view, that he only went to a doctor when not going to a doctor would have caused such a stir and a commotion that it would have gotten undue attention. But I don't know what he actually did, but I wouldn't put it past him. He actually does mention, at the end, a second reason why people should nonetheless do their hishtadlus. He says, well, if someone is not such a tzaddik, then if they don't do hishtadlus, they will sort of not be able to deal with the pressure and stress and, you know, and they will crack and, you know, who knows, they'll go off the derech, they'll go crazy, etc. And therefore he says, okay, one can do hishtadlus in order to keep up the illusion. And if you're not such a tzaddik, you could do hishtadlus if you just, it would be too hard to not do hishtadlus, and it would be too much of an isayon, and you're not psychologically able to handle it. Your emunah is not strong enough. You don't have to do something that you can't handle, which will then backfire and, you know, perhaps cause negative psychological results. But, okay, his answer is very clear. And again, this is actually a common belief nowadays. His answer is very clear, even though it's not one that I'm particularly partial to. The Torah doesn't believe in the power of anything within the realm of science. Let's see a third approach. If we flip the page, there's a Mishnah in Pesachim that says, because Yoah Melech did a number of things, and he did three praiseworthy things. One of them was Gana Sefer Refuos. He confiscated, he censored the medical book. What did that mean? Says Rashi number 6, and Rashi here is very much on the page of the Ramban, if not further. They darshan, he censored, confiscated the medical books. When people got sick, they had such good medical books that they wouldn't humble themselves and go to Hashem. They would just use the medicine and get better. And therefore, he says, okay, that's it. I'm confiscating all the medicine. I'm closing the labs. I'm closing the hospitals because go to Hashem. Don't go to doctors. Seemingly very against this idea of going to doctors. Once you go to Hashem. And the Rambam is very, very upset by this. Number 7 says the Rambam, v'lo arach l'tavrin yazel v'nei shamati v'gam pirshu. He gives the troop shot in the Mishnah, in his opinion. Sheshlomo chiver sefer refuah, shem chola adam be'eza machla, shu pana ala va'asa, kmo shu omer v'srape, v'rach chizkiya shloi, hoyu v'nei adam botchum ha'shem achlo seim, el sefer refuos, amenu gnozo. Shlomo ha'melech, they said, had a wondrous book of refuos, and everyone would use it. They had modern medicine. They had better than modern medicine, great medicine. And he saw people weren't turning to Hashem, so he confiscated it. And the Rambam says, maybe I'll read a little outside because the hour is starting to get late. He says he's very upset. Not only are they wrong, how could anyone think Chizkiyahu HaMelech and his colleagues would be so stupid? You know, what a ridiculous thing to do, to say, let's not use medicine and instead turn to Hashem. That's ridiculous. Not only is it wrong, but it's insulting to Chizkiyahu HaMelech and to Chazal. He says they attribute to Chizkiyahu HaMelech a foolishness that only the lowest of the masses, you know, would be guilty of. And then he uses some harsh words here. He says, and after all, according to them, so let's say someone was sick with the illness of hunger and they ate breakfast. So would we say they should have had bitachon instead? I mean, it's a fascinating question, right? Even nowadays, you could ask the same question, right? If someone were to say, which is not common nowadays in the mainstream Haredi world, everyone goes to doctors. But if someone were to say, you know, I don't want to go to a doctor because Hashem will give me health. They say, okay, so why eat healthy food? Why Hashem will give you nutrition. So we say, I don't want to work because Hashem will give me money. Say, okay, and if you have money, why pay your rent with it? Hashem will give you housing. If you have money, why go to the supermarket with it? Hashem will give you groceries, right? Says the Rambam, no, you can't really say I'll have bitachon. Everyone does something within this world. And he says, would anyone say you don't have bitachon if you eat food? No. And what does he say? He says, just like the Torah says, v'achalfa zavata v'rachta, right? We eat the food and we thank Hashem for it. So we use the medicine. And we thank Hashem for the medicine. And we go to the doctor and we thank Hashem for inventing the surgical techniques. Of course, everything is from Hashem, but everything from Hashem doesn't mean that we shouldn't live in the world of Teva. It means we should live in the world of Teva and thank, I mean, who created the Teva? You know, not just created the Teva, but the specific things within the Teva, right? Why do we have a physical world? Why do we have a Teva? And then if I'm eating, why do we have agriculture and technology to make delicious foods? And if I'm going to the doctor, you know, why do we have these medicines, etc.? So it's all, I know someone discovered this, someone discovered that, but they all did it because they were given the koach by Hashem. No one is self-sufficient. And therefore, yes, we find Hashem through the Teva by working within the Teva, by utilizing the Teva, and then thanking Hashem for creating this wonderful Teva.
Okay, quick question. Basically, the Rambam was a doctor. And I'm not trying to say anything bad about the Rambam, Chas V'Shalom times a million, but, like, it is interesting to know that his approach of this and everyone else's approach was the, like, other. And the other thing that I have to ask is, like, they all seem, like, I'm just thinking, like, vaccinations, right? Like, all these people would probably be, like, super anti-vax. Except they're
Rambam. That is a very fascinating question. First of all, I make this mistake every year. You know, you start with sort of the minority opinion, then you use up all your time, and you end up with a skewed view of reality. That's a fascinating question. You know, what would they think? So I think the Ramban would say, I'm anti-vax in the days of the Nevi'im, but nowadays I'm pro-vax, because nowadays you have to work within Teva. The Mechlem Eliyahu might very well say, yeah, I don't think there's any reason to go out and get a vaccine, because, you know, if you don't get a vaccine, you don't get sick. That won't be remarkable. It's not a big deal. Lots of people get sick with vaccines, don't get sick without vaccines, you know. The Mechlem Eliyahu might have, I'm not saying he'd be an anti-vax. I mean, he wouldn't be a conspiracy theorist, right? He wouldn't be, getting into the, you know, machlokas achronim, whether the COVID vaccine was to sterilize humanity or to put microchips in them. But he might very well be no particular reason to seek that out or to seek out a lot of things. Correct, absolutely.
Do you think it's interesting that the Rambam, who was a doctor, was like one of the first approaches that was like, this is all just like ridiculous?
It is interesting, but it still makes sense because after all, what do you say? A doctor should heal people. Even though we're on a low madriga nowadays, it's still once we're on this madriga, it's a mitzvah. So he was just a realistic person. Now, I just want to point out this is very, we won't read inside. The Sefer Ikarma of Yosef Alba, one of the greatest of the Bali Machshava among the Rishonim, he has a very fascinating approach where he talks about how to find Hashem in this world. Because, you know, Mechlem Eliyahu would say the way you find Hashem in this world is to not work within Teva. right? To deny the way Teva works in this world, and the more you just turn to Hashem, the more you find Hashem in the world. Says the Sefer Yikarim exactly the opposite. He says fascinatingly. He says some things are up to us, some things are not up to us, some things are partially up to us. What's up to us is if we do mitzvahs or averos. That's the idea of Bechira Chafshis, Hakol B'Dishamayim Chutz Mi'Yerushamayim. Hashem doesn't force us to do mitzvahs or averos. What's not up to us are things that just happen, you know, that we have nothing to do with. So what's up to us are things that we do something and then Hashem makes it succeed. Right? For example, in the old days, even nowadays, a farmer plants crops and Hashem makes them grow. Even to this very day, whatever the farmer does, he can't guarantee his crops will grow. And even if you're not a farmer, you know, I get a degree in accounting, and then, you know, you don't automatically find a job, and then Hashem finds me a job, etc. You know, I open a store and Hashem gets me customers. I go to the doctor and Hashem makes it work, right? I send out an army and Hashem makes them win, whatever it may be. And he says, interestingly, he says, most of the scharva onish we get from Hashem comes from this derech, is a combination. It's something that happens when we do our hishtadlos, then Hashem gives us success. He says, sometimes scharva onish, in rare cases, Hashem will give someone something good no matter what. Or will, unfortunately, send something bad no matter what. But most of the time, most of the schar we get at the very least, is through a combination of our actions and Hashem's. And therefore, he says, it's actually very, very important to do ishtadlus and to work through derech hateva. It's very important to work within the scientific world. Why? Because, he says, what do they say? God helps those who help themselves. Let's say Hashem made a gzeira that he wanted to heal me. So there's actually one of Avodah Zarah, maybe should have made it here, that says when Hashem sends a disease on someone, he enjoins that disease. He says, stay for this long and leave when he takes this medicine. Okay? So if I want Hashem to heal me, I daven to Hashem to heal me. If I take the medicine and Hashem accepts my tefillos, he will heal me. If I don't take the medicine, Hashem will say, well, you didn't really invite me to do anything because I help those who help themselves. Arena Bachi in Mokar number 9 points out that Hashem created us in the world of Teva. If you assume, unlike the Mechtam Eliyahu, like our common sense, like a mainstream approach, that there is a world of Teva out there, Hashem created us in the world of Teva. Once he created us in the world of Teva, we have to work through the Teva. When does Hashem do Nisim? Hashem sends his nes when Teva ends, meaning when I do whatever I can do, that's never enough. Sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking it's enough. We fool ourselves into thinking, if I do this, it'll all work out. It's never quite so simple. There's always something that could go wrong, and more often than not, there's not just something that could go wrong, it's very risky, and you never know how it will work out. When we do our part, then Hashem does his part. If we don't do our part, Hashem says, I created you in the Teva. If you're not working through the Teva, don't expect me to save you. Or, as the Sefer Yikarim says, sometimes Hashem does something regardless of what you do, but most of the schar you get is Hashem sends success to your endeavors, as it says, V'racha Hashem alokecha b'chol ma'aseh yadecha, Hashem will bless your endeavors. And therefore, if I want Hashem to heal me, I go to the doctor, and then everyone knows that if you go to the doctor, might or might not get better. You hope, and who decides that? Not the doctor and not you, Hashem. But if you don't go to the doctor, then if you don't work through the Teva, Hashem guarantees you that 90% of the time, he will not be involved. And he has an interesting diuk. Sus muchan liyom milchama, this is the rinvachi v'l Hashem atshua. You prepare horses. Nowadays you say tanks for the war, and Hashem gives salvation. He says, it doesn't mean you prepare tanks for the war, but that's silly because Hashem gives salvation. He says, no, you prepare tanks for the war, and once you prepare tanks for the war, Hashem gives salvation. Salvation is from Hashem, but the salvation comes through the tanks you prepare for the war. And likewise, Sefer Yikarim makes a very nice deal. I think it was a Moshav band song once a long time ago, if anyone's old enough to remember them. Im Hashem lo yishmor ir shav shakad shomer. Anyone remember that song? Okay, I think it was Moshav band. You don't want me to sing it. Trust me. If Hashem does not guard a city, then the shomer, if Hashem doesn't guard a city, the watchman watches for naught. Now, Sefer Karm reads that pasuk very meduyak. One could say, oh, if Hashem doesn't guard a city, the chayalim are worthless. Meaning, who needs policemen? Who needs chayalim? It's up to Hashem. He says, no, read this pasuk carefully. If Hashem doesn't guard a city, then the shomrim are worthless. But if Hashem does guard a city, why doesn't say the shomrim are worthless either way? No. If Hashem doesn't want to help you, if you deserve an onesh, then it's not going to help. You can't accomplish something Hashem doesn't want. But if Hashem does want to help you, then yafesh shakad shomer. Then the watchman did not guard for naught. Then the watchman was effective. Basically, if we work through the teva and Hashem wants to answer our tefillos, then he makes our actions through the teva effective. And if Hashem does not want to answer our tefillos, he makes them ineffective. Says the Sefer Yikarim fascinatingly, let us say I am sick and I don't go to the doctor. Then I shouldn't expect Hashem to be involved in my life, because if I'm not doing my part, if he created me in the teva and I don't work through the teva, then nesis chal b'cheshvan teva. Let's say I'm sick and I do go to the doctor. Then, if I get better, Hashem is sending me a positive message. And if I don't get better yet, Hashem is giving me a kick in the pants, as it were. He says, perhaps because I'm a bad person, perhaps because I'm a good person, but I need to be a better person. He wants more from me in order to overcome whatever challenges I have. But he says that if you want to see Yad Hashem in your life, by refraining from working through the Teva, you're refraining from seeing Yad Hashem in your life. Because if I don't do anything, then Hashem's not even going to give me a yes or no message in response. And Hashem's going to say, you don't do anything? You didn't ask me to get involved. I'm not going to give you an answer. If I do my Ishtadlus, and then Hashem always runs the world and decides what Ishtadlus succeeds and what doesn't, then I could get a message from Hashem in my life. If I succeed, I'm getting a positive message. And if Chas V'Shalom, it fails, I'm getting a message that I have to do better and improve. And that's what he says. Yigia kapecha kitocha l'ashrecha v'tov lach. Someone who eats the fruits of their labors, it is good, they're fortunate and good for them. Someone works and succeeds, then they eat the fruits of their success and they know they're getting a positive message from Hashem.
That's completely counterintuitive. The other side, right, that says, like, everything's innate, misunderstand it, everything's a test. So it's, like, a little hard to say why Hashem wants to test us to everything, but at least we understand the religious impetus for that. What's the religious impetus for what we assume is makes sense?
Aha. Okay, so let's just perhaps summarize. The hour is getting late with the answer to Adam's question. Let's summarize what we've seen and bring it down to Hashkafa Lamasa, as it were. We've seen basically three approaches, and definitely more complex. Certainly, Rinu Bachya is more complex. Three approaches to, and, you know, you really have to delve into more Makoros in the Ramban and the Rambam, etc. You know, anyone who wants the fuller 12-page Makoros sheet, you know, can WhatsApp me. Anyone who wants the, you know, fuller 200-page Makoros sheet, if you promise to read it all. But the one approach is the Michtam Eliyahu. To deny that there is such thing as Teva. Teva is an illusion. Again, hard for me to swallow that Hashem made an entire world as an illusion. Although, I guess everyone can have whatever theory they want. That's how philosophy works. But the whole world is an illusion. And Hashem, the Torah, does not believe in the power of medicine or anything else in the scientific world. All there is davening to Hashem. All there is Torah and mitzvos. Everything else is just an illusion. And the only reason anyone would go to a doctor is just to participate in that illusion. Because they want to keep up that illusion, or because they're just not ready to give up the illusion psychologically, and they can't do more than they're ready for. The in-between sheet is the Ramban. The Ramban says there are two levels of reality. Ideally, we should be beyond Teva, and we should certainly not go to doctors. And according to most poskim, that was true in the time of the Nevi'im. And when Mashiach comes, that will be true once again. All the doctors will be unemployed when Mashiach comes, but that's okay. Because everyone else will also be unemployed when Mashiach comes. Because the Rambam says when Mashiach comes, no one will need to work. We'll just have everything that we need, and we'll all, the doctors will join everyone else in Kolo all day. There's a Madrega of being beyond the Teva when you don't go to doctors, and the Madrega of being within the Teva. In that Madrega within the Teva, you go to the doctors, but it's still somewhat of a bidieved that you have to work within the Teva instead of connecting to Hashem. And then there's the approach of the Rambam and the Sefer Yikarim, who see The way to connect to Hashem is davka by working through the teva. The way to connect to Hashem is davka through the science and through the medicine, through the going to doctors or whatever type of hishtadlus applies in the realm that we are discussing. How so? Number one, as the Rambam says, you appreciate what Hashem gave you through the teva, right? If I don't go to a doctor, then I don't appreciate the neflos that Hashem created through his shluchim, through the scientists and the doctors, etc. If I don't go to the doctor and take the medicine, I don't appreciate how wondrous it is that Hashem put this, antibiotic in the world. Okay, someone had to discover it, etc. But if I don't go to the doctor, I don't appreciate how great Hashem was in making the antibiotics. If I don't go to the doctor, I don't appreciate how great Hashem was in making all these things we can make instruments out of, etc. And in giving us nosein lasech vivina, and giving us the ability to come up with all kinds of brilliant chidushim and procedures that can help people. Dafka, if I work through the science, I can appreciate that if I believe the world is really there and I'm supposed to be working within it, I appreciate all the great resources Hashem gave us in this world. And secondly, the Sefer Yikarim says that God helps those who help themselves, that I can't sit back since Hashem created me in Teva. He says, I'll come through for you when you do the first step, right? The famous Drasha al Nisechesh of Chol Yom Imanu, right, with us, right? He works with us to do the Nisim, but he's not going to do the Nisim by himself without us. Is a well-known drash, that davka, if I want to see Hashem's hand in my life, if I sit back and do nothing, then I'm not inviting Hashem to be involved in my life. Paradoxically, if I sit back and say, Hashem, you take care of it all on your own, that's not a valid request of Hashem. Then I'm not going to get a yes or no answer from Hashem. I'm just not inviting him. The only way to invite Hashem into our lives is to do masi adecha, to do verapo yurapi, to work within the teva that he created. Once we work in the teva they created, then we know, right, scientifically. If I do nothing, it's not going to help. If I do something, it might or might not succeed. Everything might or might not succeed. Once I do something that might or might not succeed in the teva, then I'm telling Hashem, Hashem, come into my life. If it succeeds, I know that you are rewarding me. If it doesn't succeed, I know that you are challenging me. The way to see the Yad Hashem in our life is to work through the teva. And then, when we see the bracha, Be'erach Hashem Lokecha B'chom Aseyedcha Asher Taseh, then we really see Hashem's involvement through our life, but Hashem says, I created you in the world of Teva, you're basically not inviting me into your life if you don't work through the Teva. If you work through the Teva, and every scientist says, whatever you do in the Teva sometimes works, sometimes doesn't, now you're inviting me into my life, because you're saying sometimes works, sometimes doesn't, Hashem, please make it work, and and be involved in my life, hopefully making it work, and if not, by giving me a message, by not making it work yet.
I feel like a lot of this is, we've spoken about, like, being good, being a tzaddik, being a rasha, not be whatever. When you do medical treatment and it continuously fails, is that because you're a rasha? I'm just trying to, like,
So the Sefer Yikarim actually says there are two reasons you could do something and it could fail. Either because you're a rasha, or because Hashem expects more of you than you are doing yet, and he wants you to do more. Classic example, the Gemara says even about the Avos and Imahos, right? That sometimes they didn't get their prayers answered because Hashem wanted more prayers. Right, so it's an interesting question, which is a difficult question and certainly a sensitive question and a philosophically difficult question. Why does Hashem sometimes answer us no? The Sefer Yikarim say, well, if you didn't try, then Hashem didn't even answer you no. You didn't ask him. But why do we try and Hashem sometimes answers us no? And the Sefer Yikarim's answer is the no is also valuable. The no is saying you have to do something more. Maybe Hashem is misavalit filasan. Maybe Hashem is putting us through a nisayon because we have to pass that nisayon and that's our avoda. But basically, if you try and you succeed, Hashem is saying, okay, that's what you're doing. If you try and you don't succeed, Hashem is saying, you have to accomplish more. Now, it's interesting. He doesn't know why some people are in one camp, some people are in the other camp. He says a lot of it has to do with the mazel, which means your ultimate fate that Hashem has in mind for you, which is different for each individual. But the truth is there's a lot of makoros about this as well, right? Why doesn't Hashem answer all of our prayers, even if we're pretty good people? And the best answer is, and the most accepted answer is, because some people have a fate where Hashem wants to make things smooth for them, and as long as they're not a Russia. And some people have a fate where Hashem wants to demand something very, very high and great from them in order to succeed and get what they want from Hashem. And, you know, we certainly, I think not just I, but we have no access to how he decides that. And that is certainly look, the challenging part of seeing the Yad Hashem is that it's very encouraging when everything works well, and it's very challenging when everything doesn't work well. But I think ultimately the answer is not to sort of not look for the Yad Hashem of the world. The answer is to look for the Yad Hashem of the world and know how to discern when it's challenging and when it is, when it's a pat on the back, and when it is a challenge, and knowing how to draw the line between a challenge, knowing how to distinguish a challenge from a rejection, and ultimately, I think now it is our time to end, and we can certainly continue to schmooze as much as we want afterwards. But ultimately, I think the goal of everyone here is to find Hashem in our lives. Is that whatever we do within this physical world, to see Hashem within it. The machlokas is how to see Hashem. Do you see Hashem in your life best by ignoring the teva, or through the instrument and intermediary of the teva? Do you believe Hashem created some teva which we're supposed to find him within, or that he didn't create a teva and we're supposed to find him without, as it were? And I do think that the mainstream approach that we're supposed to look for Hashem within the teva, looking for Hashem is always challenging, because then the next question is, okay, so now what does he want from me based on that? But I think that ultimately we will succeed in Ruchnius and Gashmius by looking for Hashem in the right way and then trying to figure out what he is trying to tell us, what he's trying to ask for us, and grow with that. And Amir Tz Hashem, look, this is a challenging time, not only for everyone in their own Daladam. Every time is a challenging time for everyone in their own Daladamos. The only difference is those who share that Daladamos with us and those who don't share it with us. But it's also a challenging time for all of us in our, you know, in Klal Yisrael. And we're certainly doing our Hishtadlus. Hopefully we're all doing our personal Hishtadlus, and Am Yisrael is doing their Hishtadlus. And, you know, and we have to keep up that Hishtadlus and really try to look for the Yad Hashem within that, and particularly look for those moments of the answer, the yes answers, and take encouragement for that, and look for the no answers, which unfortunately both the Yochid and the Rabbim had plenty of, especially recently, and say, okay, well, what is Hashem challenging us? You know, what do we have to grow? What do we have to stretch? What do we have to accomplish more and be higher and deeper and greater? And then, Meretz Hashem, Hashem should answer all of our mishalos libeinu litova for the tzibur and for the yachid, and should give a bracha b'chol maase yodeinu, and should give a bracha to all of our refuos, and Amir Tz Hashem should bring us to the place where we no longer have to worry about refuos because our machlos are removed. Thank you very much.